Welcome to the Jacob's Well podcast. These messages are intended to feed you some great stuff that you can really dig your teeth into all week and beyond. That's why you can find it anytime, along with other great resources and ways to keep the conversation going at jacobs-well.net/leftovers. Enjoy the message.
Well, good morning. I'm Heidi Esposito, Director of Children, Youth, and Families with Jacob's Well. It is a pretty great gig. I love doing it. I get to help young people to sort of discover who they are and to figure out how to be community with one another and to ask some pretty great questions about this thing that's bigger than all of us that we call God. And I love doing it. So, all right. You're going to have to bear with us a little bit this morning. I'm not really sure what's going to happen behind me, but I'm just going to plow forward regardless, all right? So because of who I am and what my passions are, I'm going to ask you guys all to be a little open this morning because we're going to engage in this content in ways that are a little unusual for the commons and might make you feel just a little bit uncomfortable, stretch you a little bit, but it does tap into this philosophy of how we learn and how we engage with kids and youth here with Jacob's Well. It's a way of engaging that's going to involve your whole brain and your whole body. Now, my goal today isn't to turn you into experts on whole brain learning, but we're going to all sort of get on the same page with it so that you can understand the why behind how we're doing some of the things this morning, all right? So, this kind of learning involves the idea that every part of your body communicates with the brain and vice versa. So, if we only use one or two pathways, we're really cutting short our ability to learn. So moving and using our large muscle systems and our sensory system engages the whole brain, allowing us to remember and categorize and synthesize information better and longer, and I would say with more openness. So if you're following along on the back of your Sunday papers, those are your first fill-ins. All right, and whole brain learning also forces, well, let's just say strongly encourages people to engage with the ideas rather than being passive during learning. It is why we have those outlines on the back of our Sunday papers. And as educators quickly find out, when people are engaged with learning, they're less likely to be engaged with other kinds of behaviors that are less conducive to learning. So if you were planning to snooze this morning or do some excessive wiggling, you're out of luck. All right, and there's also a cooperative nature to learning with our whole bodies that says everyone has ideas and everyone has something to contribute. So if you came here with a small person today or you're sitting by a small person, make sure they're following along because you're gonna be able to help them and they're gonna share some ideas that might open you up to some new possibilities. All right, so we're gonna spend the next time here today trying to get both sides of our brain working. All right, so are we good with that? Everyone say good. You guys are going to play along. Nice. All right. So as Melissa mentioned, today our Godflix movie is the animated movie Sing. Now, Sing is a story of this optimistic koala bear named Buster Moon, who's part producer, part salesman, part dreamer, and he decides he's going to save his rundown theater by staging a talent competition, sort of like American Idol or The Voice. Well, it turns out that there are plenty of hopefuls that are looking for their break in Sing, especially after Moon's elderly assistant, Miss Crawley, mistakenly ups the prize winnings from $1,000 to $100,000. Well, the crowd of would-be contestants that storm the theater to audition range from a trio of bunnies who twerk their fuzzy behinds to the naughty anaconda, to some aerobic singing shrimp, to a pig who nails bad romance with a heavy German accent and in this tight, gold, glittery jumpsuit. And just as they do on all those talent and singing competitions, all those contestants are following this nudging to share their passion for singing with others. And as we find out, they all also have a story to share. All right, here's our first chance to get moving. Are you guys ready? We're going to do something that we do with kids and youth called a zip line. And it gives everyone sort of an opportunity to quickly share a one or two word answer. All right? So everyone's going to put their thumbs up like this. All right, and we're going to start over. If you're sort of in the beginning person in the rows over on this side, you're going to get to share first. And then you're going to zip it to the next person who zips it on down and down and down until we get over on this side. And then you guys raise your hands so I know that it made it all the way to this end. Okay, got it? All right, now, these rows aren't exactly straight, so you're going to have to get a little creative and maybe zip it this way or that way so that it gets all the way across. All right? So here's what I want you to think about. I want you to imagine that you've just been given the opportunity to audition yourself for a talent competition. All right, what are the first word or words that come to mind? All right, everyone get their zip lines ready. Are you guys ready over here? All right, go. So zip it down, share your answer and zip it down. Yeah, you go ahead. Yep, you can start that row. All right, it looks like we're just about making it all the way over there. What I was hearing as this was going by is that we all have some pretty different ideas when it comes to the passion of performing. Some were saying excited, some were saying hopeful, some were saying nervous, some were saying scared. And that reminds us that there's this complexity and uniqueness to the human race, and I guess I'm going to have to say the animal race too, based on this movie. And we need that complexity and uniqueness of passions to make this world work. Now, although the plot of the movie is centered around the idea of performing and being in the theater, at the heart of this story is really the idea of finding and following your passions. Now, when I hear phrases like discover your passion or follow your dreams, it makes me want to do one of two things. It either makes me want to puke or it makes me want to hyperventilate. And I think I'm not alone in this feeling of feeling sort of sickened at these phrases because it reduces the idea of passion to something that might be found on a bumper sticker or a slogan, not something that's deeply rooted at our core. It's also hard to get on board with finding our passions because if I headed down the self-help aisle of Barnes & Noble or bookstore or maybe perused lots of podcast sites, I might feel like I'm only going to get one shot at this thing called passion. There's even a TED Talk that promises that I can find it in 5 easy steps and in less than 5 minutes. And when I searched Amazon to find out this following your passion and finding your passion thing, it came up with 151,928 responses to help us get this thing called passion right. This sort of hyper-focus on finding passion or finding our calling makes me feel pretty anxious and pretty self-critical. Having kids in their late teens and early 20s, I am really well aware of the pressures that we put on young people to figure it out and figure it out right now. Whether it be in career planning tests or deadlines to decide a major or posting on social media claiming to say, I'm going to be this as soon as I'm done with my schooling or training. It kind of makes me think of another one of my favorite movies in which this big pointed hat gets placed on people's heads to reveal their true calling, right? Yeah. All right, anyone else feeling anxiety creeping in a little bit? Yeah. So I want to find out what your response to that idea of passion is. All right, on the back of your Sunday papers, you're going to find this little chart. And it has a bunch of emoticons on it. And I want you to choose one of those emoticons that best reflects how you feel about this idea of finding or following your passion. All right, there's a whole bunch of them on there, and I want you to choose one, and then I want you to replicate it in the box that's next to the chart. All right, there's some smiles and some annoyed and scared and confused, stubborn, joyful, worried, sick, grumpy. All right, if we were back in H2, I'd say put your pencils up when you finish drawing so I know that you're done. All right, so we had planned to sort of look at the screens and identify these different emoticons, but I think what we're going to do is I'm going to call some of them out, and when you hear me call them out, hopefully you're thinking it's the same thing that I am. You're going to stand up and you're going to say, that's me, all right? You guys are looking pretty nervous, so we're going to practice that once. Everybody stand up.
All right. That's me.
And in a nice, loud, clear voice, clap and say, "That's me. That's me." All right. That was easy, right? All right. Sit back down. Okay. So I'm going to go from left to right in rows and what I think they look like. All right. Does the idea of finding and following your passion make you feel happy? Annoyed? Petrified? Worried? Annoyed? Joyful? Worried? Sickened? Angry? All right. Well, lots of different ways again, right? Because we're all unique and we're made up in different ways. But I'm going to tell you guys that in that short exercise, you use the reasoning section of your left brain and your emotional and creative sections of your right brain. Used your large muscle systems and you used your verbal systems. Nice job using your whole brain. Let's give ourselves a hand. Good job. All right, so our hero Buster Moon would probably choose something that looks like maybe that big joyful smile that's on that chart, because he has been wholeheartedly living or following his passion since he discovered it while he was sitting on his father's lap in the theater when he was just a small child. Wow.
Places, everyone.
That's it. All right, well, imagine with me, it zooms into the balcony, and Buster is sitting on his father's lap, and he has just fallen in love with the theater. Now, one of the things that drew me into this movie right away was my own family's connection to performing in the theater. Both of my kids have spent countless hours rehearsing and performing and writing and directing and choreographing and being members of the audience in various theaters around town. My oldest daughter, Anna, found her passion very early in life. From the time she was about 2 years old, she would be directing us in how we should be acting out her favorite Disney musicals, with, of course, her starring as the lead. And when she was about 6 years old, somehow she found out that our local community theater was holding auditions for the musical, wait for it, Annie. Of course, every budding young performer's dream role. Well, she begged and begged and begged for me to let her audition. But you see, I was allowing fear to sit in the driver's seat. I was afraid that she was going to be crushed if she didn't get a part, or if she didn't get the lead, to be honest. And I was also afraid that I was going to be embarrassed for taking someone to an audition that had never been to an acting class and never performed anywhere outside of the living room. So I told her, not this time. Now, honestly, the idea that performing was going to be her passion was sort of totally off my radar. I thought this was just the latest thing that she was obsessed with. Well, Anna went on with her day, disappointed. Well, If I remember right, it involved a tantrum and a meltdown as well. But she left still solid that she was going to find a way to live out this passion. And after she left, I immediately wished I had made a different choice. I wanted to be the kind of parent that was an encourager of dreams, the kind of parent that would allow for risks and mistake making, especially when it came to pursuing dreams. Well, it's a good thing that we don't just get one shot at this thing as parents for getting these things right, because feeling like I had blown it led me to sort of dig in and find out where were those opportunities in our community, and I signed her up for the next summer session. And the rest of this story is really Anna's to tell. But her passion for performing has manifested in many different ways and has led her both to amazing places and through some of her darkest times. But like Buster, it was something that she couldn't deny. It's part of who she is. And to quote Buster, she was never going to let fear stop her from doing the thing that she loves. And she learned that you don't let others tell you what you can't do.
Well, because you're actually doing it, right?
Look, do you love to sing? I mean, do you really? I said, don't let fear stop you from doing the thing you love.
Okay, I'll do it.
Great!
So, how can we think about passion as something bigger than a slogan, or something you might find on a bumper sticker, or something that's more encompassing than just this single shot? And this is on the back of your Sunday papers, too. I want us to move away from the idea that passion is what we do and shift more to connecting to the idea of passion being the meaning behind what we do. This allows our passions to live and change and take shape freely. If we construct our ideas about passion around the things that we do, what happens if we can't do those things anymore? We lose a job, or our health changes, or something just shifts in life to make us not be able to do that thing anymore. I would argue that Buster's passion was more than the love of theater. It was more about using theater to bring joy to others and to help them to move beyond what was holding them back. Theater or no theater, Buster can continue to find ways to bring joy to others and to help them on their path of discovering. So there's this character, Paul, in the Bible, who had a passion for encouraging people that were, like us, struggling to figure out how to do church and how to be community with one another. And he spent all his time traveling to these different cities and talking with them, and then he would leave and he would write letters. And a big chunk of our Bible, the New Testament, is filled with these letters of encouragement to these communities that were figuring out how to be church. So it's time to get our brains and our bodies moving again a little bit. I'm going to read part of one of Paul's letters, and I'm going to do some actions, and I want you to mirror the actions that I do. All right, everyone say, got it?
Got it.
All right, good, you're still awake. All right, so this is when he's writing to the Romans. He says, I pray that God, the source of all hope, will infuse your lives with an abundance of joy and peace in the midst of your faith, so that your hope, and when I think of hope here, I'm thinking about trusting in God's big vision for me, all right? So that the hope will overflow through the power of God's Spirit. I love that word infuse, because it helps me to draw away from the idea that my passion is about what I do and more about who I am. And finding, as Paul puts it, that following our passion leads us to discover this abundance of joy. That's pretty great, too. All right? It's often that part that nudges us towards wholeness. And not that discovering our passion or following our passion is an easy thing. Often, it's not. But it can help us to tap into that joy or tap into that place that makes us feel like what we're doing matters. So now this guy, Paul, he was an incredibly passion-driven guy, and he often found himself being chased and beaten and thrown in jail. But he and his buddy found that even in jail could be their stage, right? And they would go on encouraging others to live out this way of figuring out how to be church and figuring out this way of loving like Jesus loved. All right, I've asked some friends, where are my friends, to come up and help me with to visualize this word infuse. Great, come on down. All right. So we've got Shiloh and Claudia and Ellery's coming up too. And I've asked them to think about what it is that they love to do that makes them excited and feel like they come alive. So what is it like you like?
Soccer and reading.
Soccer and reading. And what is it about reading that you really like?
That I can go into a different world.
Yeah, reading takes us to different places. How about you, Ellery? What do you like?
Soccer.
And what do you love about soccer?
I get to be on a team and have fun.
Yeah, being on a team and having fun. All right, Shiloh, how about you?
Kitty!
Kitties. What is it about kitties that makes you feel excited?
They're cuddly, and they have a cute face, and they make a purr when they're comfortable.
All right, Shiloh, I want you to tell me, how do you feel when you get to be with kitties?
Excited and happy.
Excited and happy. All right, if I was going to say what my passions were, I would say that I love hiking, and I love that I get to be a champion for kids and youth. All right, so we're going to say that these jars here, these are us. They look pretty nice, right? All right, and then we each have some food coloring here, and they're going to say that this is what our passions look like. All right, so we're going to put a few drops of our passion right into the jar. All right, can you guys see that? All right, so we noticed right away when that passion went in, right? You could see that color go right in there, and passion can be like that. We feel like we come alive when we're doing the things that we love, right? We notice right away when it enters in. But I'm going to tell you that in a few minutes, we're not going to be able to differentiate the blues and the reds and the greens from the water that was already in the jar. Because passion is like that too. It has a way of seeping in and invading all parts of our lives, so that pretty much feeling excited being on a team or the places that our imagination can take us can happen no matter where we are, right? It can happen whether we're playing soccer or reading or even being with kitties. All right, so we're going to let this water sort of infuse these colors seep in there, and you guys can go back and have a seat. Thank you for coming up. All right, so I told you at the beginning of this message that thinking about passion made me either want to puke or hyperventilate. So this hyperventilating part, this idea that you only get one shot at finding your passion, heads us down a pretty unproductive road as well. The movie Sing shares this message that we all have more than one thing that we can be great at doing. And when we shift away from the what we do to connecting to the meaning behind it, that gives us the freedom to try lots of things. Everyone that came to the audition with Buster had another part of their life that they were good at and where they were needed. But they also were nudging themselves forward to find a way that they could use their passion to get them up on stage and share their love of singing. Now, one of my favorite characters from the movie Sing is Rosita. She's a stay-at-home mother pig. She's amazing at lots of stuff. She does, in fact, have 25 little piggies to care for, which makes her a master manager, a chef, a politician, a plumber, a medic, you know, the list goes on and on. But she knows that there's something else, something that makes her come alive and makes her feel valued in a way that is different than being a mother or a wife. David Isay is the founder of StoryCorps, and he's done a lot of thinking about this idea about finding your passions. If you ever listen to StoryCorps podcast, there's a great one called More Purpose and Passion that I would recommend you listen to. It's great. And when Dave describes the process of discovering your passions, he uses a three-circled Venn diagram to help us to get a clear glimpse of what the possibilities might be. So if you look on the back of your Sunday paper, you're going to see this Venn diagram there. So in that upper left-hand circle, we're going to call this circle the things that we're good at, the things that we love to do. So I want you to take time and write or draw a couple of things that you really like or love to do, when you feel like you come alive. I always think, if you feel like you could teach that thing to others, it's probably something that you love to do. So for Buster, he might write in that circle, theater. He might write something like capturing big ideas. And he might write something like bringing people together. Because those were all things that he really loved to do that he felt pretty excited about when it was happening. Now the upper right-hand circle are things that we feel appreciated for or valued for. What are some things that you feel like appreciated for or that others are noticing that you do really well? Write that in that right-hand circle. I would say for Buster, others might notice that he's pretty good at problem solving. Lots of stuff happens in this movie, and he's the one that kind of figures out what to do next. He's good at motivating others. He's a hard worker, and he's really good at spreading positivity and joy. Now, in that bottom circle, that's where we're going to write things that we do that make other people's lives better. How is what I'm doing making a change for others around me? All right, write a few of your ideas in that circle. And for Buster, I would say it's helping others get past their fears. He does that over and over again in this movie, and it's making a difference in those people's lives. He's also really good at not giving up. And I would say that Buster's ability to be a storyteller is also making a difference in other people's lives. Now, Dave would say that whenever these three things intersect or line up, that's where we're going to find our passions, or as he defines it, your calling. The things we love to do, even though they might be the hardest things that we do. And for Buster, those things seem to line up as he produced shows in the theater. So right now, you might be sort of sheepishly glancing around wondering, well, who's this passion-filled life really for? Certainly not me, right? I'm not the kind of person that's going to get up on stage. And by on stage, I mean doing something really big or really public. We may not all end up getting on stage to be a singer or be a top surgeon at a hospital or pitch for a Major League Baseball team. But I do believe that we're all wired for living a passion-filled life, this big vision that God sees in us and for us. So I'm going to challenge you to take home your Sunday papers today, and I want you to gather some people that you trust and that you love and that love you, and start having this conversation where you see passions showing up in your life. All right, back to our friend Paul. Busy as usual, you know, living out his passion, encouraging, this time it's going to be the Ephesians, reminding them of this passion, this God-sized vision that God has for us. All right, so we're going to do this mirroring again. I'm going to do some actions, and you guys are going to follow along. All right, so this is writing to the Ephesians. Paul says, "Now, giving thanks to the God who can do so many awe-inspiring things, immeasurable things, things greater than we could ever ask or imagine through the power of God's work in us." It gives me hope to think about getting to tap into that place of inspiration and awe and imagination, and it helps me to take my passions seriously. So how do you find this overlap? This place where what we love to do and where we feel valued and where we're making a difference intersect. I was thinking about the characters from Sing, Buster Moon and Rosita and Johnny the crooning gorilla. And I feel like they were all able to shut out the chatter of what others were telling them to do and tune out all those voices that were saying can't. And they were able to go to that quiet place within themselves that knows the truth, that helps them to connect their inner and their outer selves. And that feels a lot like what Paul was talking about. It's trusting that there's this awe-inspiring power at work in all of us. Well, there's probably a third thing that I used to feel when thinking about finding or following my passion, besides puking and hyperventilating. And that is this pressure that if we aren't making money or receiving great fame for following our passions, that we're doing something wrong. But that idea focuses again on our passions being the things that we do, rather than our doing growing out of our passions. Even our hero, Buster Moon, had to accept that living out his passion was probably never going to make him rich, and it would find him facing many failures in his life. But it was always going to tap into that place where he felt joy, that joy that Paul was praying for us all to experience. All right, I've been spending a lot of time this morning saying, let's watch this.
Buster, where are you going?
So I tried to touch. I've told the truth. I didn't come to fool you. And even though it all went wrong, I'll stand before the Lord of Song with nothing on my tongue but hallelujah.
Do you think you could sing like that in front of a real audience?
I don't know, but I want to try.
Good. Because I want to see it.
Yeah. Buster there encouraging Mina to just try and to tap into that place where she was going to experience that joy and share it with others. All right, so I've been saying our passions aren't the same as the things we do, right? But I would say that finding our passion is a pretty active process. It's not something that we do while sitting on the sidelines or just dabbling. We usually have to sink our whole heart into it. And often we find that we might have to actually fight for the things that we're passionate about. Or like our friend Gunther likes to say, you can't just sing, you have to show the fire of desire. That was my best German accent, by the way. So passion seeking often asks us to step outside of our comfort zone, to take risks, and to try. And that's how we're going to end this morning. We're going to step outside of our comfort zone. All of us, right? All of us. Yeah. All right. And we're going to dance. And we're going to shake off all those parts that are holding us back from the things that we love to do and that we feel valued for and that are making a difference in the lives of others. So let this dance be our prayer into tapping into God's power that's already working in all of us. All right, stand up. Hit it, Gunter.
And Rosita.
Getting this?
But I keep cruising, can't stop, won't stop moving. It's like I got this music in my mind saying it's gonna be all right. I never miss a beat.
Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast valuable, please pass it along to others. And we'd love to hear from you too. You can email us at info@jacobs-well.net or message Jacobs Well Minneapolis on Facebook. We see what we do as a community really making a difference for people. Since you're listening, you probably have too. If you'd like to make a donation to support this work, you can find ways at jacobs-well.net/give. Thanks. Listen again next week or join us in person Sunday mornings at 10:30.